Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, thank you for joining us for a special Racing Post Royal Ascot Antipost podcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to discuss all the big races in that glorious week of racing that's just coming up, only just around the corner, are Nick Watts from the Racing Post, the international racing expert, Brendan Duke, and from Paddy Power, we've got Frank the Tank Hickey, who tells me he really does fancy one or two, which is fantastic news. He's got all the prizes, hopefully some winners as well. We will start off on the Tuesday. As always, Tuesday, the strongest day if you are a racing aficionado. Group 1s absolutely everywhere you look. We'll look at the biggest prestige race of the day. It's the St. James's Palace Stakes. And Frank, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, Without Parole is 3-1, US Navy Flag and Saxmire 5-1, Tip to Win 6-1, Gustav Klimt 7-1, Romanized Verbal Dexterity, Wooten and Almeida are 10-1, Gabber 11-1, and we're 12-1 bar.
What's a possibly not a kind of archetypal St. James's lineup, this, is it? I mean, it's one of those ones where you can make a case for probably more horses than you might have thought. You might say it's not necessarily quite as classy as ever. But the main thing is, do we have a winner? What do you fancy?
Oh, I think listening to Frank's list there, the interesting one from my point of view is Romanized. I think just because he's got Ken Condon next to his name, he's slightly disparaged. But he did win a classic last time out. A bit US Navy Flag comfortably. And his form as a two-year-old stacks up. He was second in the Solario behind Massar, which obviously looks fantastic for him now, with that one having won the Derby. Like you said, it is an open race. He goes on fast ground. He ran well at the meeting last year in Coventry. Slightly unlucky seventh. Could have finished quite a bit closer than that. And it might be, like I said, because he's not trained by a superpower, we're getting a better price than we should do. And we're being a bit disparaging about having won last time. Whereas, you know, I think we should be looking at that a bit more positively.
Okay, what's he fancies Romanized? Brendan, who do you like?
Well, similar, I think I might duck the big trainers and look at the boy Teal with this Tip to Win, who is a tricky horse now for paddock judges, Bruce, because I saw him in Newmarket and he's a pony. You wouldn't think he'd come forward much from 2 to 3, but all he's done is progressed through his career. And I thought everything else that finished in the frame in the Guineas was up with the pace. He came from further back than anything. He slightly stumbled in the dip as well. He's got a great attitude. I mean, his head carriage is so low. He really loves the game. I know this is an anti-post postcast, so you're trying to find something that'll shorten. I don't actually think he'll shorten much given connections, but I think I'll back him on the day. He should be around the same price, around 6 or 7 to 1.
And Frank, who's your fancy for the St. James's Palace?
Basically, I'd kind of be between the two lads in that I think these two are the two that you'd want to be backing. Perhaps Romanize a bit more potential to shorten than Tip to Win. But like, first of all, the Guineas hasn't worked out too bad with Roaring Lion coming out and winning the Dantan Place in the Derby and Massara winning the Derby. So I think it would be probably unwise to knock Tip to Win and say his performance was a fluke, and then Romanized couldn't have been any more impressive in the Irish Guineas. I think it'd be easy to say, look, he was an outsider and he's trained by Ken Condon, but it was his first time stepping up to a mile and he ran away from them in the last furlong. Now, he's related to horses that were winning over 2 miles, so like the step up and trip is always going to suit. And of course, as Nick has said already, he was second to Massar in a Solario Stakes. He's actually quite unfortunate in the Coventry Stakes last year. I mean, didn't get the clearest of runs and he was only beaten just a little over 2 lengths. So I think the track should hold no fear for him. And I think 10-1's a knock in each way bet. Because while Without Parole was visually impressive at Yarmouth, he had to work really hard at Sandown. And while they used the ground as a little bit of an excuse, it still was good ground. It wasn't soft or heavy. And the bare form of that probably wouldn't be anywhere near the form of Tip to Win and Romanized. And at 10-1... Romanize a fair each way bet. I'd probably back him myself now.
Yeah, what's I didn't think Without Parole was particularly impressive at Sandown. What do you think?
No, I don't think he was. It was only a listed race last time, I remember, that he won, whereas obviously Romanize comes in here with classic form. If there's a massive outsider, just quickly, there's a horse, Il Primo Soldi, trained by John Gosney, who's about 25, 33 to 1, any price you like. Got no run in the French Guineas last time out. It was a kind of a terrible race, that, from a kind of bad luck point of view for a lot of horses. Write that off. Fast ground, he loves it. I wouldn't be surprised.
He went into my tracker after a spectacular debut at Yarmouth.
Yeah, and he kind of just got beaten in a few messy races towards the end of last season. He's kind of been forgotten about a little bit, but he threw him into the Guineas last time, so he obviously still thinks quite highly of him. him and just got no run at all. So if he's there, you know, 20, 25 to 1, he could be a sleeper, if you like, who could go well.
Let's do the Queen Anne next. Frank, what's the latest?
The Queen Anne, we are 3 to 1 Rhododendron. Ben Battle and Recolitas, my pronunciation is great, are both 6 to 1. Lancaster Bomber 7s, Lightning Spear 8s, Lord Glitters Yoshida and Hesham 14s, and we're 16 to 1 bar.
Brendan, this is a head-scratcher of a day one, isn't it? I mean, I know you're quite confident on the old tip to win for the St. James's, but the Queen Anne is not clear-cut by any means, is it?
No, I wouldn't even be massively confident on tip to win. I agree with you, Bruce. Really, really competitive racing, but tricky, as you say. Rhododendron, of course, the stiff track will suit her down to the ground, and they'll go a good clip here. But, I mean, she did only just win in Newbury, and it was just one there. Frank mentioned the 14-1 about the Lord Glitters. My ears pricked up. Because we last saw him, he went off favourite in the Lincoln, which I thought was very interesting, because the boy O'Meara only had one winner in the first 3 months of the year, so the horses weren't going great. Now, granted, Adabe kicked him out of the way, but on the ground, Adabe's a fair horse, I'd say, and he was giving him £8. He is proven on the straight track at Ascot. You might say a handicap situation sets up better for him, but as you were saying, this is a competitive race. There'll be plenty who'll take their chance. They'll want a good gallop for Rhododendron, so it might set up like a handicap, and he could come. He's got that straight course form at Ascot, which is crucial. There is a slight concern about the ground, I'll grant you that, but it's the first race of the meeting. It probably won't be rattling quick for the first race of the meeting. He might just get away with it. He has some all-weather form, which we know translates. I just thought 14-1, you could make a pretty good case for him.
Are you coming over for it, Brendan?
Well, I don't think so, unless I discover a friend in the next couple of weeks, because unfortunately my connection over there has only gone and fecked off to Saudi Arabia. So I'm not commuting from Saudi Arabia. That'd be a bit much.
Absolutely not.
So probably not.
Oh, that's a shame. Frank, who wins the Queen Anne?
Yeah, it's quite a tricky looking race. Like Rhododendron, I suppose she battled well to win the lock-in, and she's probably the right fav just about. But at the same time, I just wouldn't be convinced she'd win this. The one I'm most interested in at the moment is the French horse Recolitas. Well, Brendan, you'll pronounce it there because I can't. Recolitas, I think it's called. But it had some decent. It only ran 1-2, and it ran very poorly. But it won its first three prior to the French Derby, including beating Val de Geese very easily in the trial, and was only beaten a length in the French Derby. Obviously, all those runs were over a mile and a quarter or slightly further. And he finished up the season running fourth in the Champion Stakes behind Cracksman. Now, he ran really well and only faded out of it late. Like he probably shaped as nearly the second best horse in the race, but he's returned this year, and they've dropped him in trip. He won nicely in the Group 2 at Saint Cloud over a mile, beating Jimmy two times a fair yardstick, and he beat Almodovar at Longchamp over 9 furlongs. I thought very easy the last day. While normally you probably be looking for something a small bit classier, this just looks maybe a little bit under par renewal, and I think he'll do for me. He's 6 or 7 to 1.
So you must have got a French GCSE, didn't you? What's it called again?
I did an A-level in it, actually.
Did you?
But that was a long time ago.
You can pronounce it and tell us what it means.
I think they got it right. I think it's Recolitas. But I don't actually think it's a word. I think it's just, a horse name.
Okay, fine.
I could be wrong, but
will it win?
No, I quite like Lancaster Bomber in this. I know that's a bit of a funny one, because he could only finish third in Lockinge, and he's got a bit of ground to make up with Rhododendron and Lightning Spear, but he wasn't a million miles behind him. I just think him winning last time out of the Curragh, he won a Group 1, the Tassels Gold Cup, I think it'll just do him the world of good, because you go back through his record, and he hadn't actually won a race since he'd won his maiden as a two-year-old, so he'd gone a long time banging his head against a brick wall in top races. Finally, he's done it last time. I think he could take a good leap forward for that. And he ran a fantastic race at the meeting last year. Just got done out of it by Barney Roy. So we know, you know, the travel, the track and everything in the fast ground should suit him very nicely indeed. And sometimes you get horses like that, that it takes him a long time, you know, between innings, between, you know, victories. But now he's got that last time out win, I just think he might take a step forward and he'll be a real player.
Let's look at the King's Stand now. Frank, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, Batash is just favourite at 5-2. Lady Aurelia, 11-4. Blue Point, 7-1. Catchy, Red Kirk Warrior are 12-1. Merchant Navy, 14-1. Mabs Cross, 16-1. And 20-1 bar.
And we'll stick with you, Frank.
Look, this looks a match between Lady Aurelia and Batash. And while Batash did well to win, despite missing the break and etc. Hate of the last day, I think the way Lady Aurelia has won twice in the Queen Mary and the King's Stand last year, I don't think you can be against her. I know she was beaten in a reappearance this year, but I was doing a bit of Googling and she's been working well. Her times have been quite good and she just comes alive at Ascot. And I think 11-4 is a very fair price. I'd be surprised if she doesn't go off favourite.
What's he? One horse race, two horse race?
Yeah, I'm with Batash on this one. I've got to say, I was looking through his form before he came on. He was 11-1 to win on his comeback at Sandown last season, just before Ascot in a listed race. Looks a mental price now, doesn't it, considering what he's done since then. I thought he did really, really well to win at Haydock because he was sluggish in the stalls. He kind of fell out of the stalls. You can't afford to do that in sprint races normally. The action took place away from where he was. Catchy was on the other side of the track, setting a scolding gallop. So for him to get up and win, he had a penalty at the same time. I think there's a huge amount you can take from that. I think it'll leave connections very confident. And, you know, the memory goes back to France last season in the Abbey when he was absolutely astonishing. And if they can just keep a lid on in the preliminaries, that's important for this horse, and get him down to post nice and calm, I think he can do it. And it'd be a fantastic race to watch, a real speed duel. But I think Batash can beat Lady Aurelia.
Brendan, some old burn-up this will be, won't it?
Oh, what an exciting race this is. And a burn-up, as you say, with Catchy involved. Because, interesting, I thought it was nearly a blessing in disguise that Batash missed the break in Haydock, because all the horses bar Catchy, who finished in the frame, came from a long way back. I'm not sure it was the worst place to be. So I was slightly underwhelmed, but he was giving away £5 to good horses, and it was his comeback. And I know the ratings agree with Frank that Lady Aurelia getting the weight works out a better horse than Batash. And she did bolt up last year, but I just cannot shake that Abbe. I keep going back to watch it because it was one of the performances last year. It's a joy to watch. I think Batash can give her the weight and a beating, and I'll go for Batash.
Very much looking forward to that. Also much looking forward to the Coventry, the other big race on day one, where some of the flashy two-year-olds converge and we see who is the king of the juveniles from the first part of the season. Frank, what's the latest betting?
Sergei Prokofiev is 2-1, Legends of War 7-2, The Irish Rover 8-1, Cosmic Law 10-1, Conchek 14-1, Van Beethoven and Vintage Brute, along with Indigo Balance and Bird are 16-1 and we're 25s bar.
Brendan, I asked the lads on the postcast the other day what Sergei Prokofiev's greatest hit was. Paul Keeley, who's barely heard of the Beatles, obviously was hopeless. You know it, don't you?
Well, I was asked, but I think David Jennings asked me this, and all I know is that if you hear the question on a quiz, Sergei Prokofiev and opera, just say Peter and the Wolf, because that's usually the answer.
Oh, well, I was thinking, do you know Watsy?
No, I didn't. Oh, the Apprentice music.
Oh no, that's good knowledge. I don't know any of his individual songs. Well, you don't call them songs, do you?
Fair enough. We haven't got any of his albums. Anyway, who wins the Cov?
I'm inclined to take on Sergei Prokofiev. He's been wildly impressive. He's by Scat Daddy and he's trained by Aidan O'Brien. But the bookies haven't missed any of this, have they? 2-1. And we still don't know what he's beaten, despite the fact that he looks the real deal. He's a stride on him from here to the other side of the room. He could be the real deal, but a 2-1. But the problem is, the horse I want to take him on with is Conchek. And Powers reckon he's more likely to go for the Norfolk, which is perfectly reasonable, given he ran over 5 furlongs the last day. I think 6 furlongs would be a help to him, actually. I think he'd improve for the trip, but I'm not Clive Cox. So, unfortunately, I have to say, wait and see. If Conchek runs here, I'll back him.
Watsy, who will you back?
I'm not sure I'll have a bet in the race, but I think Cosmic Law is quite interesting. Richard Fahey's got a really good bunch of two-year-olds this season. There's two or three of them, won really nicely, not quite promising. But this one won, obviously, at Epsom, the Woodcote. Very, very impressively indeed. He put quite a long distance between him and the second. And there's a tendency, I think, to downgrade it because Epsom's obviously a funny track. It might not necessarily be replicated. But horses, you know, Woodcote winners and horses run well in that in the past have gone to Ascot and kind of upheld, you know, that form and that race. And Cosmic Lord did do it very, very nicely indeed. So he's an each-way price, about 10-1. I'd be quite keen to go with him. I'm like Brendan. I do think Sergei Prokofiev has, you know, a huge amount of ability, but it's factored into the price.
Okay, and Frankie?
Yeah, it's tough. It's not one I'd really be looking to have a bet at this stage, just with, like, the entries aren't even out yet, and there's always the likelihood something could pop up in the next few days as well and end up in the race. But for me, Legends of War, I don't know if you saw the debut here, Yarmouth. He was wildly impressive. Now, the third ran last, was a couple of nights ago at Windsor, and didn't do a whole pile for the farm, but pre-race, John Gosling was saying he was a horse that, even though they bought him from the Breeze Ups, he'd come on an awful lot for the run. And well, if he's going to come on from that run, he must be some tool. And I was listening to the review podcast on Monday, and I heard Tom Sagan mention how it's vital to be following the Scat Daddies and the War Fronts, etc., around Ascot, and he's by Scat Daddy as well as Sergei Prokofiev. And but for me, Legends of War, he looks really good, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of price you get on the day. But 4-1 ish, I think, is probably a fair price. He looks very useful.
Okay, let's look at Wednesday's card now, and two races that jump off the page straight away, the Prince of Wales's and the Royal Hunt Cup. We'll start with the Prince of Wales. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, Cracksman's 5-4, Poet's Word 9-2, Ben Battle 7-1, Eminence 10-1, along with Hawkbill and Hydrangea, Cliffs of Moher and Rhododendron are 12-1, Crystal Ocean 14s, and Moldavar 16s, and we're 25s bar.
Nick Watts, I was a Saluim backer last week. Oh, that was painful. That was so, so painful.
You must have been shouting at him to get over to the rail.
Be honest, I was so pessimistic that I just, even though he was miles clear and probably trading at a ridiculously short price, I just kind of knew what was going to happen, and sure enough it did, but it wasn't very nice. But for Cracksman now, everyone's written that off because he doesn't like Epsom, he's going to carry on being a world beater. Is that the case, and should we be smashing up the 5-4 here?
Yeah, I think he'll win. You've said it all about Epsom, things didn't go his way, he probably doesn't like the track, he doesn't like galloping downhill apparently, and he kind of lost a lot of ground turning into the straight, and that's when Saluim kind of was going away at the front. And so he had a big job on to reel in Saluim. Obviously, he had that gap up the rail to help him, and he managed to nose through that and win nicely. I don't think you'll see him at Epsom again, although, weirdly, he's 2 from 3 there and was placed in the Derby, so I think that shows his class. I think back on a more conventional track, it's quite a quick turnaround, but I'm not too bothered about that. He was tough as a 3-year-old. I don't think any less of him now because of what happened at Epsom. So I thought he'd win the race, the Prince of Wales, before that. So I'm still going to say he's going to win it now.
Frank, penalty kick for the Gosden good thing?
I wouldn't say definitely no. Like, while I think he won not loving Epsom, it wasn't just the track the last day. Like, if you look at it, like, in the first couple of furlongs, Frankie didn't look happy. And we were saying, it's like, Jesus, he doesn't look like he's travelling that well or anything. And I'm convinced while I think Sylvester Souda is an unbelievable rider, I think he missed the trick with, if he had pulled onto the rail, Saluim would have beaten Cracksman. And I just think it's a quick turnaround. It was a hard enough race, and the ground wasn't beautiful either. Like, he might just have taken a little bit out of him. And at 5-4, like, look, I could be made a right fool of, and he could go off 4-7 and absolutely hack up. But I just would be small bit concerned. And when he hammered Poet's Word in the Champion Stakes last October, that was on soft ground. I think soft ground probably helps him, and better ground here would benefit Poet's Word. And I wouldn't be surprised if Poet's Word got a bit closer to him. And if Cracksman managed to run a good bit below his level due to having a hard race at Epsom, I think Poet's Word would be a fair each way bet against him. Like, I think he might be a small bit bigger on the day. You might get, 11-2 or 6-1 if the field holds up to an extent, with the way the betting works on the day in these races. And if he was 5 or 6-1, I think it's a fair each way bet against Cracksman, to be honest.
Brendan, Cracksman 4 or again?
Oh, I'd be 4. I agree with Frank. I'm not sure it was the track, because as he says, whatever about running downhill, he couldn't run uphill at the start of it, but he was almost certainly dazed and confused. If you watch the video back, you'll just see as Hawkbill goes in, Hawkbill's about halfway in, and he lunges forward in the stalls, and you can see Frankie jolting forwards and backwards, and I think he definitely banged his head. And he was dazed and confused.
Like
for
a Loris Karius situation, yeah?
Well, indeed. I suppose we talk about concussion all the time now in sports. I don't know, do horses suffer concussions? But, I mean, the brain is quite tender, generally, isn't it? I mean, if the brain gets a bashing, I fell off my bike once. I have seen stars. It's a bad business. So I think he wasn't himself for the start of the race, and it was only his heart that got him home. The only slight worry would be the ground, but I'm not even that worried about the ground. I think it's all because the dam's by pivotal, but I think it's that wind on his near four is very off-putting. He's actually a really good mover. He just has this weird thing he does with his off four, and it looks like he maybe has a knee action or something, but I don't think he really does. I think he'd be fine on the ground. I think he's just much the best. We're just saying something because that Poet's Word's a right horse, but I think he'll win.
So what's the weird thing he does with his off four? Is his off four his right arm, effectively?
His near four is, yeah, so if you're standing in front of him, his right leg.
His right leg, and what does he do with it?
He just sort of winds it. They call it a wind. It just it almost goes in a little circle, and it's just a little off-putting. But he's a really good mover, and the people who study stride lengths mentioned that he has a massive stride. So I think he'd be able to use himself on the good ground.
I wish I had the horseman's eye. Let's look at the Royal Hunt Cup. A very competitive affair, Frank, no doubt.
Yeah, looks a very good race. Afak and Lord Glitters are joint 12-1 favourites. Kaiser Soze, 14-1. Bless Him settled for Bay and Sharjah Bridge, 16-1. Cape Byron, Gilgamesh Hakim, Kinran and Love Dreams, 20-1, along with Mountain Angel, Mubtazm, Original Choice, Pincheck, Sabador, Saltonstall, Turian Star, Tribute Act, and it's 25's bar.
And Frank, who wins out of that lot?
Oh, it's a very competitive race. It'll depend what the cut-off will be. I think it was 97 got in last year, which would mean Kaiser Soze would potentially be just out of it. He's on 96. He was massive eye catcher on his return in the Spring Cup. He was travelled like the winner and just got outstayed on the softer ground. And of course, he was backed as if defeat was out of the question in the Victoria Cup, but he missed the break by I think 5 or 6 lengths, and that put pay to any chances. He's one that if he'd managed to creep in, he'd have a big chance. There's a few on my shortlist. There's another one, Tribute Act of James Fanshawe. Now, she's rated 94. She was entered up this weekend, but I'm not sure if she's going to be running or not. If she managed to get a penalty before Ascot and sneak in, she'd be very interesting at a massive price. She's been touched off twice in 2 runs at Ascot, and she's 2 from 2 in the all-weather. And of course, all-weather form can translate very nice to Ascot. She looks well handicapped. The run at Ascot as well has been very well franked. The 3rd, the Fede won a conditions race at Leicester. The 4th, Dynamic won very nicely in Musselburgh. And the 5th, Daddy's Girl was just touched off at Nottingham. So that was a really strong race. I think she's only a couple of pounds higher. She's one to keep an eye on. And then, of course, you've got Kinran, who's also on 96, has been very unlucky in 2 runs this year. Of course, he's drawn the wrong side at Doncaster in the Lincoln Consolation race. And at Sandown, he was held up way off the pace and should have won and didn't. But of the ones that are guaranteed to run, I thought Gilgamesh was interesting. He won nicely at York there last time after being drawn on the wrong side of the Victoria Cup. He won his side by a mile. He's after going up to 100, but the way he won at York, I'd say he still went handicapped. And of course, he's 2 from 3 on the all weather as well.
Okay, Frank, are you coming over to Ascot, by the way?
No, I'm not. My brother's wedding is in Poland. Is it a week or 10 days after it? So,
wow.
I had to go over to that instead. So.
Right. Watsy, who wins the Hunt Cup?
I quite like Sharjah Bridge. Really good run, only start this season at Newmarket. That was a handicap at the Guineas meeting. Run up against a Godolphin horse called Oasis Charm. There was a time when Godolphin were winning absolutely everything. They were in really sparkling form during that meeting. Ran a very, very good race. They were 4 lengths clear of the 3rd. It was the front 2 and the rest nowhere from quite a long way out. And I like races like that. I think when they put distance between them and the others, I think that's always a positive. It was his first run of the season, whereas the winner had already had the benefit of a run. He was giving him £3. So I think there's a lot you can take from that. He's been kept back for it since. I think he's a double figure price, Frank mentioned, either 14 or 16 to 1. He'll do for me.
Okay, let's move on to Thursday, and the highlight of the day and indeed the week is the Gold Cup. 2 horses dominate the market, Frank.
Yep, sorry, just 1 second, I'll get it there now for you. Order St. George's 7 to 4, Stradivarius 2 to 1, Vizierabad 6 to 1, Torstor 10 to 1, Idaho 14 to 1, Desert Skyline 16 to 1, and we're 25 to 1 bar.
Frank, do you remember a programme called It's a Knockout?
I can't say I do.
Okay, it was a kind of... Do you remember it, Watson? Was that before your time? It was basically Stuart Hall presented it with Eddie Waring, and it was a group of villages would play these weird games where you had to sort of dress up as a milkmaid and carry water across these, like, conveyor belts with the other lot chucking balls at you and all that kind of thing. Anyway, when you were really confident about something, you played your joker and you got double points. And Frank, we're going to stick with you because I think you'd be playing your joker here, wouldn't you, on the Gold Cup?
I'd be very keen on one here. While Order St. George is obviously like a great stayer and a fantastic horse, it would worry me that the forecast is very good. I would be surprised if we're not running these races on good to firm ground. And while his record on soft ground is unbelievable, the only time he's been beaten on soft ground is when he's in fourth to Enable in the Arc. He's won every other time he's got soft ground. He's been to Ascot 4 times. The twice he's encountered soft ground, he's won. The twice he's encountered good ground or better, he's been beaten. Now, Stradivarius looks just an improved stayer this year. He was very good as a three-year-old. He won here in the Queen's Vase. He won a good World Cup as a three-year-old, which is no mean feat, beating Big Orange. And he was only beaten, he was touched off in a ledger, which is probably, I think I'm not wrong in saying the greatest ledger ever run, was it? With the way it's working out. It's unbelievably strong. And then he was beaten a little under a length, was it, behind Aura St. George in the long distance cup. Now that was on soft ground, which would have favoured Aura St. George and probably inconvenienced Stradivarius a bit. Now he was getting £8 for being a 3-year-old, but the way he won at York and his reappearance in the Yorkshire Cup says he's improved an awful lot. I'd say he's going to take an unbelievable amount of beating. If I was pricing up myself, I'd have him favoured ahead of Aura St. George with the way the forecast is. And I'd be pretty confident he'll beat Aura St. George.
And you've got another strong fancy later, haven't you, Frank, for us?
I do indeed, yeah.
Under wraps. Okay, so Frank, very sweet on Stradivarius, Nick. What's your view on this one?
Yeah, I'd probably take the opposite view, because I've always been a big fan of Order of St. George. And, you know, to run as well as he has in a couple of arcs now, you turn it around, I don't think there's many of the horses in this field who could. He was placed 1 year, wasn't he? He was third, and I think he was fourth last year. I take Frank's point of view, but then I look back to Royal Ascot last season. He was running a heat wave that week. He was very fast ground, and I thought he should have beaten Big Orange. I don't think he's Ryan Moore's finest hour. He came from quite a long way back and made up a huge amount of ground to get, you know, within a nose of the winner. And then, you know, going to the Ascot race at the end of the season, the long distance cup, Order of St. George has been beaten in that race before. And, you know, by that stage of the season, he's always had a few battles. So I just don't think he's ever at his best in that race. So the fact that he pulled it out of the fire last, you know, the back end of last season when he looked beaten, but he just got a sniff of victory inside the final furlong, and, you know, being the true pro that he is, he went and won. He's had, you know, a couple of easy races this season, as he always does, just warm-ups, but I'm not too bothered about the ground. He's been there and done it. I think he's slightly unlucky not to have been coming here on a hat-trick. And I respect Stradivarius, but, you know, Order of St. George is the one they've all got to shoot at. So for me, I'm going to stick with the tried and trusted and Aidan O'Brien.
Brendan, you get the deciding vote.
Oh, this is terrible. This is the ultimate sitting on the fence. I agree with both of the lads. I agree with Nick that the double OSG should have won last year. I think Ryan Moore bought into the hype that he was a tricky horse and he had to be held up. They've discovered that they can ride him anyway now because he's an absolute warrior of the turf. But I also agree with Frank that he is better with cutting the ground, and he's getting older now and he might just be slightly less inclined to let himself down. He wasn't that impressive in Leopardstown the last time. Although he did still win. He's got it. Like, this is a hell of a race, because Stradivarius, that ledger form, as Frank said, Vizierabad looks like he's coming over. I wasn't expecting him to come over. But I've decided to have a bet to beat the three of them.
Ooh.
The Torcedor, who is a really fast improving horse, I think, despite his age. He hasn't been with Jessica Harrington for long. Now, his best form has come on soft ground, but I think that's just coincidence. I think he'll be fine on the better ground. And what I love here is his tactical versatility. He made the run on the last day. I couldn't find much pace in this race at all. And we saw last year, the Big O got a soft lead, couldn't reel him back. This Torcedor is a tough nut. Harrington has them absolutely flying. They were noticeably out of form when he disappointed in Dubai, so I'd write that off as well. He's 10-1. I don't think he's going to be any shorter on the day, but I'll have a few quid each way, and I think he'll give them all something to think about.
An interesting race for sure. Let's look at the Ribblesdale now. Frank, how are you betting on these fillies?
Yeah, La Tidar is our 5-2 favourite. Sun Maiden 5-1 along with Wild Illusion. Magic Wand 6-1. Forever Together 7-1. Bye Bye Baby and Dancing Brave Bear 10-1. Athena 12-1 along with Give and Take, and we're 14-1 bar.
Tough old heat this, Nick, isn't it? Because obviously the Gosden filly had to miss the Oaks, very unlucky. Presumably if she runs, it will mean she's back and fine again. But, you know, we're not quite sure what the lineup is. Does anything stand out at this early juncture?
It doesn't really. No, I'm a big fan of the Gosden horse. But obviously, as you said, coming off the back of missing the Oaks, you don't know quite how ready she's going to be. And it'll only be her third ever start. So she's still quite inexperienced, although she does look very good. But no, I'm quite happy to hand this one over to the guys. I didn't have a major view on this one.
Okay, hospital pass, Brendan Duke from Nick Watts with a ribbon on it.
Yeah, this is tough because you don't know what's going to run. I'd be against La Tidar. I saw her in Newmarket and she is a seriously impressive filly. She's an absolute unit. I'd love to know what she weighs. But she's a heavy top filly and she hits the ground hard. So I have the same forecast as Frank and I'd be worried about her on quick ground. I'll go for that Sun Maiden because she does have a pedigree to be a star, and she looked a star in Salisbury, but she didn't beat much. And she, the bookies aren't giving anything away. A tentative selection for Sun Maiden.
Righty-ho, Frank, a Ribblesdale fancy for you?
Oh, I'd be a lot more bullish than tentative. This will win, I think. While it was only a maiden the last day, like, she ran over 7 at Wolverhampton and she went off 7-2. Like, she's bred, like, she's a Frankel. Is she a full half-sister to Midday, who obviously was brilliant. But the day at Salisbury, I think she was put in 5-2 or 2-1. And she was absolutely smashing the betting as if she had turned a massive corner. And I've heard a few murmurings that she's working the house down. Her breeding suggests she's could be a superstar, and I wouldn't be surprised if she turns over Lattie there. If you're getting 5-1 or so on the day, that's a max each way bet, because she won't be, like, Lattie Dar could be very good as well and could beat her, but I really fancy Sun Maiden. I think she's a cracking bet.
Excellent, good stuff. We're back with Friday in just a mo.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right then, Bruce Millington, Nick Watts, Brendan Duke and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey looking ahead to Friday of Royal Ascot. A great card this. Obviously, the coronation used to be the highlight of Friday, but it's now the Commonwealth Cup. So, Frank, take it away. How do Paddy Power bet on the Commonwealth?
Sioux Nations 9-2. Invincible Army and Equilateral are 8-1. Sands of Mali 9-1. US Navy Flag 10-1. Different League 12-1. Unfortunately 14-1. And we're 16s bar.
Frank, I know you really fancy one here, but we're going to wait and see whatever the other boys can unearth it. Brendan, who's your Commonwealth fancy?
Well, I've backed Sioux Nation, and I'm just as confident now as when I backed him. I backed him after he won in Nace. I was there that day. And we only got 5 races, actually. The last 2 were abandoned, so that was a bit of a blow. But he was worth going just to see. It was sensational performance. He put the race to bed in about 3 strides, having been quite keen in the race. They all finished in the line behind him. I suppose you can crib that, but he had his penalty. I mean, he's a Group 1 winner. He's won at the meeting. I just think he's a serious... The only concern I have for him is the trip on a stiff track. But I think he'll settle better in this race because it'll be a stronger pace and a bigger field. I think Ryan will be able to settle him. I don't think you'll see him in front as early as you saw him in Nace, because I think it was as much... He was dossing in front a bit as he curled up at the trip. I think he'll get away with the trip, and I think he's just much better than Nace.
Brendan, very confident about Sioux Nation. What's he...
I do agree with Brendan, but I have got a mad one here, which, you know, if he runs, I think it's a massive each-way price. It's another Aidan O'Brien horse. It's called Battle of Jericho. It won at Ferry House last time out. It was odds on to do so. Not very impressive. You know, it was just kind of a comeback run. But it's interesting. He came over for the Cornwallis Stakes at kind of the back end of last season. Dropped back in trip. It was at Newmarket. And I backed him that day, and he had absolutely no luck in running at all. It's one of those really annoying races when the horse finishes absolutely full of running, beaten a couple of lengths, never gets any daylight whatsoever. I'm pretty sure that if he'd had any daylight, he would have won that race quite easily. And he's got a real fast ground pedigree. He's by Warfront out of a filly called Together, who was second in the 1,000 Guineas for Aidan O'Brien a few years ago. He'll love the quick ground at Ascot. So if Aidan threw him on the lorry and sent him over for this, obviously Sioux Nation, out of the ones at the front end of the market, I'd agree with Brendan, I think is the most interesting. But if Battle of Jericho did turn up in this race, he could easily grab a place, I think, at a massive price.
What price is he, Frank?
Battle of Jericho, 50-1.
50-1.
50-1.
Get in there, Watson.
Each way, yeah, that would do me.
Now then, Frank, neither of the boys have spotted what you've spotted.
No.
Who wins the Commonwealth?
I can see the Sioux Nation angle, and a few shrewdies in here are on him, Andy Post. But like Brendan, I would be a little bit concerned with the trip. I think he'll end up being, they're already mentioning the Nunthorpe as the target after Ascot, and I think he might end up just being a 5 furlong horse. But there's one in here, it's the only Anti-Post bet I've had for Royal Ascot. I've had a good Anti-Post bet in it. And I was taking a little bit of a chance in that while its form wouldn't be anywhere near in grade level to what like Sioux Nation or a few of those have done, this Equilateral that won at Doncaster blew the mind out of me completely. It won on the bridle by 8 lengths. Now, it was only a novice race, but you say, oh, look, it's only a novice race. It's probably beaten nothing. But the second Foxtrot Lady went to Chester the following weekend, was drawn 10 over 6 furlongs, which normally... results in the sick note being pulled out and they don't bother running them. But Foxtrot Lady got hampered at a crucial juncture in the race and still won by 2.5 lengths easy off a mark of 80. Now, she went up to 87. I would say she's at least a 90 horse. And this horse gave it 12 pounds and beat it 8 lengths on the bridle. It's an absolute machine. Now, Charlie Hills has mentioned the same breed as Moore, Haran, Batash. I'd love to know what kind of work it does with them. He's booked James McDonald for, who I think is a big deal as well. And I think while I respect Sioux Nation greatly, I think this could be an absolute tool. It won really, as a 2-year-old, it won really easily first out in Bath. Again, where just in the blink of an eye, put the race to bed. It went to York then, in September, in the novice race, but it obviously picked up some sort of issue when finishing tailed off, but it's come back. It looks like it's at the peak of its powers again, and I'm really excited about this. I think it'll put it up to Sioux Nation, Sands O'Malley, etc. I think it'll win.
Equilateral, what a compelling case there, Frank. Well played. Let's get a show from you on the Coronation Stakes.
Yeah, Alpha Centauri is 4-1 favourite. Tepal 9-2. Clemmy 5-1 along with Happily. Billisden Brooks 7-1, but that needs to be supplemented. Cor de Boot 8-1 along with Wind Chimes. Campla Tep Tress. Soliloquire 10-1. Alton Orders 12-1 along with Magical. And it's 14-1 bar.
Brendan, this is another of those races that is uncharacteristically competitive this year, isn't it?
It looks competitive. If the Billisden Brook run in Newmarket can be believed, she'll eat these, and I think it's worth taking a chance. I know it doesn't make sense for a horse to improve a stone on its 10th run. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But you look at that race, you had to be on the pace. Everything that finished in the frame was on the pace. She's run against a massive pace bias. She's got to the front in about 4 or 5 strides. She's just eaten up the ground, and it was just a sensational performance. But you have to, I mean, it could have been a fluke, but I mean, how do you fluke that? How do you run against the pace boys? I mean, if that run, if she had been, say, 4-1 for that race, I know you can't do that. She'd be 6-4 here, because she just destroyed them. The form looks solid with the second or the fourth has gone and run a reasonable race in the it looks certainly on par with the French form, and she was so much more impressive. And I think you can't sort of be, she was improving all the way as a 2-year-old. And the Champs-Élysées tend to improve for time and particularly distance, but she's got an unnatural amount of speed for Champs-Élysées. And she was improving, and then her last run was at the back end of the season. You can always forgive a filly at the back end of the season. Her comeback run, Hannon doesn't seem to have them that straight for their first run of the season. So I know it's hard to get it into your head that a horse can improve a stone, but I just keep looking at that Guineas run, and if she repeats that, this is all over, and you're going to get a price because people think it was a fluke.
Excellent. A very strong case for the double B there from Brendan Duke. Frank Hickey, do you echo Brendan's thoughts?
Yeah, like as in, we had a little bit of an argument about what price we'd quote for this, and I was saying like it was difficult enough to say it was a fluke, because I think if it had been a case that a couple of other rags were in and around her, you'd say, yeah, look, a lot of the principals didn't run their race. But like, you had like Happily was third, Lawrence was second, Wild Illusion was fourth, was it?
Yeah.
And fifth was another one, the fancy horse, if I remember correctly. I can't remember now off the top of my head. But like, all the fancied horses were behind her. Lawrence has come out and won over in France. Wild Illusion ran a cracker in the Oaks. I think there's every reason to believe what she did. Like, if you go back to, I know it was only a nursery off a mark, I think of 87, if I remember off the top of my head correctly, but she did something incredible at Goodwood that day, where she looked absolutely, she got mullered in the run, looked beat, and picked up nearly the whole field in about, I'd say, 3/4 of a furlong. She is very good.
I think you or Keels tipped her that day on the podcast, as I recall. I
don't believe it was me, but I'll give Mr. Keeley the credit there. But I think if she does turn up and she's in around that 7-8-1 bracket, I think that's a fair each way bet. Now, there's one to, I'm not sure if it's going to run, but I really fancied for the Guineas, and I had a little bit of a setback prior to it. It is entered. I don't know how it's working or how it's going, but Sir Michael Stout has one called Voracious. She was wildly impressive winning her maiden in October, beating Winter Lightning, who went over to Dubai and won a couple of nice races there. She beat it 4 lengths. It was just very impressive. She was working really well, and Frankie was booked for the Guineas, and the week before then she met a setback. Now, were she to rock up here and be 20 or 25-1, I would definitely be having a few quid on that, but I don't know whether she's an intended runner or not. And obviously, Billisden Brook is probably the one you'd be backing if you're getting 6, 7, 8 to 1.
Watsy, who's the one you'll be backing?
I like Alpha Centauri in this. The Irish Guineas winner won very nicely last time. The only time she's disappointed is on softish ground, which I don't think we're going to get at Ascot. So that'll suit her. Really good run at the meeting last season. I think she was a narrow runner-up in the Albany. And really bounced back to form. And it looked like it was kind of expected last time as well. There was a few shrewd people backing her beforehand, and her price contracted quite a lot. So a much better show was envisaged in that run, and it truly came to pass. So I think Alpha Centauri, I agree with the boys. I don't think Bilston Brook was a fluke whatsoever. So I think she's the danger. And I don't really like any of the O'Brien ones. I think Clemmie might need even longer. She's only had one run back. You expected her to show a bit more, even with the setback in her race last time out. It might take her a bit longer to get to fever pitch, and Happily and Magical, I'm not really interested in any of them. I think it's a straight fight between the two Guineas winners, and I'm going to go with Alpha Centauri.
Which days are you going?
I'm not. I'll be watching from the office.
No way.
But I'll enjoy it just as much.
Will you?
Yeah,
no, I always imagined you do you own a top hat?
I don't, actually. I'm more likely to be seen at one of the jumps meetings in the evening than go to Royal Ascot, but I do love watching
you
it.
You don't own a top hat, no?
I don't, know.
I remember Clement Freud giving me a right old dressing down because I didn't own a top hat. He couldn't believe that. And B, I didn't even know what size my top hat is. He thought that was like hideously uncouth.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Wouldn't have a clue. Let's do Saturday now. And first up, we're going to look at the Wokingham. Always a competitive affair, but I think there's a horse in blue, Frank, who's dominating Paddy Power's market, isn't there?
Yeah, Dreamfield's 4-1. Victory Angel is 12-1.
4-1? Hang on. Is that because of money or just because he was so impressive last time?
I didn't have a look at the field book, but I would say he's going to go off much shorter than 4-1 myself. We were talking about it this morning. We think we wouldn't be shocked if this went off 9-4 or 5-2.
Blooming heck.
Yeah, Victory Angels 12-1, Blue De Vega 14-1 along with Gold Vibe, Dream of Dreams 16-1 along with Gilgamesh, Glenmoy Lad, Ice Age, Major Jumbo, Mr. Lupton and Silent Echo, Aces is 20-1 along with Ektiar, Growl, Intasab, Toopy Undrafted, and we're 25-1 bar.
Watsy, this is all about the Fav, although I guess if he's that good, they might even aim him a little bit higher at one of the other races.
He's in other races.
He is, isn't he?
He's still in the Golden Jubilee. I think he's still in a Group 1 later in the season. So I suppose
it's difficult now, isn't it? Because if you back him and he doesn't run because he's running in the other races, it probably means you've got the value in that he's so good. So what do you do? Do you leave him alone? Do you work on the basis that he might not run and take something else on? What's the strategy here?
I think he probably will run. I think, they'll probably take the view this is a penalty kick and they've got him in the Group 1, so they know he's got that kind of ability in the locker. For them to enter him, they're not dreamers, these people that have entered him in these Group 1s. So I think he will take all the beating. As a value hunter, I'm always keen in big handicaps to look at something at a bigger price. So for something to fill the frame, I think Blue De Vega is quite interesting because he was a good horse in Ireland. He's placed in an Irish Guineas. He's gone to Robert Cowell, who's trying to reinvent him as a sprinter, and there's no better guy at doing that than Robert Cowell. And it looks like he's taken a bit of time to find his best, but he's getting there now. He's fourth in the Dash last weekend at Epsom. He had to go around the houses a little bit, dodge in and out of runners. Was finishing really strongly. That was a good effort. I think obviously the favourite's the one they've all got to beat. But if you wanted an each way poke, 14-1, I think Frank said it was, Blue De Vega is getting there for Robert Cowell.
Frank, would you be lumping on the jolly here?
Look, he does look the other group horse in the handicap, but you would be small but concerned that, like, backing him at 4-1, there could be a draw bias on the week and he could be on the wrong side. And also, he was off for 18 months before that Ascot romp. And, you're always a small bit wary of a horse second time out off a break like that. So it's a skinny enough price to be taking. A few in the office are very keen on Blue De Vega. I think I made a bit of a rick on Saturday. I didn't think he was as eye-catching watching it live as when I watched the replay. He was very eye-catching, to be fair. I think there's bigger than 14-1 out there. We're well under that. We're ducking that at the moment. It looks a very good each-way play against it. But I thought there was one that's mildly interesting, and I'd be taking a bit of a chance in this, but Undrafted won the Jubilee in 2015 for Wesley Ward. I see he's in here off a mark of 103. Now, he is an 8-year-old, and he could just be over the hill, but you know the way Wesley Ward does these interviews and the run-up to Royal Ascot, and be particularly bullish about certain horses. And I think if he gave this a positive mention, it looks very well treated. It had a spin in Belmont in April, which just looks like a little bit of a sharpener for this. And if he runs and if Wesley Ward is big it up. I would probably take a flyer on that each way. I think we're 16-1.
Okay, and Brendan, what's your Woking and Wonder?
Well, you need serious imagination to get away from this favourite, don't you? I don't think he can go off much shorter. I know what Frank's saying. There was a horse at Kumani's in the Hunt Cup a few years ago, and he went off something like 5-2 in the Hunt, but he was undone by the draw on the day. The look on Luca Kumani's face after the race was just one of pure shock and horror. So that could happen again, but I mean, there's going to be 30 runners, 4-1. Can he be much shorter? But he's out of a Izzy Top, so he's out of a Group 1 mare. He's got the Group 1 entries. It's very interesting that he's running because, as we know, Johnny G's famous W quote about rolling the big dice. Well, he's decided not to roll the big dice here because he obviously decided, well, we're just going to win the Woking. I'm off 103. The second's gone in twice since. And he was a bit keen. I think he'd be better off with a lead, which he'll get here. It's ridiculous putting up a 4-1 shot in the Woking, but I just cannot get away from him.
Fair enough. All right, the Diamond Jubilee is next. Paddy Power bet as follows.
Yeah, one of my favourite horses, Harry Angels, 11-4, Merchant Navy, 7-2, Red Cook Warrior, 13-2, Blue Point, 15-2, The Tin Man, 8-1, Lady Aurelia, 10-1, Tazlit, 12-1, along with Labrisa Breeze and Lamato, Bound for Nowhere is 14-1, and we're 16-1, Bar.
Brendan, Harry Angel, 11-4, that seems slightly on the generous side to me. What about to you?
Well, I suppose it's to do with the depth of the race. I mean, he is officially the best sprinter in training, certainly on this side of the world. But the Merchant Navy, I mean, Aidan was at pains. He'd been in quarantine twice. I don't know what he did the first time, but they wanted him back. So then he came out. Now, he looked really good. I mean, it was such a joy for paddock watchers that race because there was himself, Brando and Taz Leet and the three of them walking around the parade ring. I mean, they're like Charolais bulls. You just see these sprinters, huge, big, muscly horses. And you can see those fast twitch fibres ready to go. But I actually don't think Brando and Taz Leet ran their races. Brando's had knee issues and I don't think he can take three quick runs in succession. I think that space out his races a bit more. And Tazlit, despite the run last year on quick ground in the Dime Jubilee, that's the only time. I think they might have got away with it once with him. I don't think he wants fast ground either. But it was still a very impressive performance because Aidan said he wasn't ready. And given Aidan's MO to get horses ready for Ascot, that makes sense. But then it's very hard to get away from the Red Cork Warrior, if you like Merchant Navy, because he gave him, I can't remember, I think it was £8. It was £8 or £10 in a handicap in March. And he'll be in off level weights here. And he beat him as well. And he had also beaten the winner of that Everest race, that $10 million race as well. He's won his last two. I just thought at the price, as Red Cork Warrior at 13-2 was a little big.
Righty-ho. What's your view?
Well, Harry Angel is a real... He's a conundrum horse, isn't he? Because he's only been beaten at Ascot. It's the only track he's ever been beaten on. But he never runs that badly there to suggest that he doesn't actually like the track, that he's got a problem with it. It's just for whatever reason he hasn't got the job done at Ascot. And I think that's why he's 11-4. I wasn't wildly impressed with his comeback at York. I think he was workmanlike. I suppose they can say he settled down a bit and, you know, become more mature and settled and all that kind of stuff. And obviously he's got bigger targets to come. But the one that I keep coming back to at 8-1 is the Tin Man. Loves Ascot, loves 6 furlongs at Ascot. 3 times a course winner there already, course and distance, including the race last season. Comes into the form into the race in great form, having won at Windsor. I think it was a listed race on his return this season. I think you can guarantee he's going to run his race. He's an each way price. I think Harry Angel can be beaten. I do, and I think maybe the Tin Man is the one to do it.
Frank, are you with or against Harry Angel?
Oh, I love the horse so much, but I just think if he's ever going to get beaten this year, it's going to be here in this race. It's very competitive, and while he's never run badly at Ascot, I just feel he's probably £5 better in the likes of Newmarket and Haylock than he is here, and that'll probably just be enough. Like the two interesting ones for me are obviously this Red Cork Warrior on the back of what he did to Merchant Navy. He gave him £12 that day and beat him. Now, I know Merchant Navy was only a 3-year-old and like he's getting that weight for a reason, but it's still a fair effort when you see what Merchant Navy did. And obviously the Australian sprinters are really good. And the other one that's a bit interesting is Wesley Ward's Bound for Nowhere. Now, it ran in the Commonwealth Cup last year. was 4 1/4 lengths behind Caravaggio, and so obviously then 3 1/2 lengths behind Ari Angel. But it got checked at its wrong at a crucial juncture in the race there. Now, it wouldn't have won, like, but it would have been a good bit closer to him. And you know the way, it's only won, is it, 5 times ever? It could improve a fair bit. Again, I'd be keeping a close eye on what Wesley's saying close to the time, but that's a fair each way price. I think it's 14, 16, 20 to run out there. Again, if he was a bit bullish, that might be one at a price that I'd to be looking at. Well, look, I'd love to see Harry Angel win. I think he's probably on his right price, and this is the one place he's a small bit vulnerable. I'm not saying he's massively vulnerable, just a tiny bit vulnerable, and I probably wouldn't back him at the price.
Okay, Frank, please would you key into your computer Hardwick Stakes and read us out Paddy Power's latest show of betting?
Yeah, we're 2-1 Crystal Ocean, 7-1 Hawk Bill in Idaho, 10-1 Barsante, Capri, Defoe, Mirage Dancer, Poet's Word, 12-1 Cliffs of Moher, and we're 14s Bar.
Watsy, everyone was keen to take on Harry Angel in the Diamond Jubilee. Crystal Ocean, is he a more solid fav here for you?
Well, Stat's got a very good record in this race. He's won it 10 times already. So you can kind of understand that he's won his 2 races this season, although the last one at Newbury is fairly straightforward. One of the horses, Frank mentioned Capri, 10-1. I don't know if it's the plan to come here, and maybe that's why he's, you know, the price he is. But if he does, I think he's way overpriced. You know, one bad run in the Arc where you can forgive him that, because it was quite a quick turnaround for him. Like we said, he won one of the best St. Ledgers we've ever seen, beating Crystal Ocean, beating Rekindling, beating Stradivarius, beating Coronet. They've all come out and won good races since. Won the Irish Derby last season, beat Cracksman, Wings of Eagles, Wildgeist was in 4th, who came and won in France at the weekend. Take that Arc run out, and his form is absolutely fantastic. He should be nowhere near 10-1, should be much closer to Crystal Ocean. And if he runs in the race, then I'll back him accordingly, because, you know, he's already got a verdict over the favourite, so he should be shorter.
A good case there from my learned friend, Mr. Watts. Brendan Duke, what's your view?
Yeah, it is, but he did have a setback after an ace. I don't think you could back him. That price sounds outrageous, but I think there's a lot factored into that he's not going to run. I'd say he's odds against running, because I haven't heard anything since Nace about plans for him. So unless Aidan were to come out and say something, and I imagine if he does say something, Frank would be taking the knife to that 10-1. I don't know if you can back him unless you hear that he's going to run.
Righty-ho.
Unfortunately.
Who should we back then?
Well, again, every time you come to me, I seem to be tipping favs. I don't know what I'll do. But the Crystal Ocean, the Ledger form is brilliant form. He's from a family that progresses with age. He's with the right man to progress with age. He's just an archetypal stout horse for this race. 2-1. It looks a fair price to me.
2-1 is at the bottom end of your threshold. You can back 2-1 shots, but you won't back any shorter, will you?
Yeah, well, I think I would back this 2-1 shot, and I definitely wouldn't want to be laying him. Now, I could get an awful shock if Capri lands into the race, but I'd be fairly confident that he won't run Capri.
Okay, Frank, what's your view?
Yeah, well, like you could definitely see if Capri did rock up into it, he wouldn't be anywhere near 10-1, but obviously with the setback, he probably won't, and providing he doesn't turn up, I think it's Crystal Ocean's to lose. I think he looks to have, like, while he's only had the 2 runs, he probably needed the first day when he beat Fabricate at Sandown, and look, he didn't have a whole pile to beat at Newbury, but he did it very easily, and he was very well backed. I know 2-5, but I think he was put in more like 4-6 or 4-8-13 or something, so they just knew they were picking the money off the ground. Yeah, I think with Michael Stout's record, he's won 5 the last 8 runnings of it. I think he's the one to beat.
Okay, Shaps, thank you very much indeed. We've gone through all the big races. We are now going to trawl through the other races that we haven't covered. I don't want anyone giving their nap of the week away yet, but if there's any other horses that you do think we need to know about, then please speak now. Nick Watts.
I'll be very interested to see what Willie Mullins sends over for the Ascot Stakes. I've got no idea if he plans to send Lagos to Vegas over, but if he does, I'd be keen on her. Ran in the Cesarewitch last year, finished 3rd. Ryan Moore rode it. So if the Moore-Mullins combo teamed up with that one, I'd be interested in it.
On Tuesday.
And Aidan O'Brien's got a really interesting one, I think, in the Queen's Vase called Hunting Horn, who ran very well in the French Derby on Sunday. This is slightly calmer waters for him. I think he finished 5th or 6th in the French Derby on Sunday. This is a little bit calmer waters for him, and I could see him going very well.
And that's on the Wednesday. Thank you, Watsy. Brendan Duke.
Yeah, quick one on Wednesday for me. The usual caveats about Wesley Ward. I mean, as Frank says, he's a good egg, so he'll tell us how he rates his horses. He's surely going to have something for the Queen Mary. But Clive Cox, last year's winning trainer, has one called Shades of Blue. Absolutely bolted up at an Ascot Maiden that's working out well. I think she's 8-1 at the moment, perhaps. I think there's a bit of juice in that price, actually. I was just looking what could run. And Fairyland could run. I think the 8-1, I think she'll be the shortest of the English and Irish runners. So I think the 8-1 is probably worth taking about her.
Brendan, do you prefer Royal Ascot or Cheltenham?
Oh, Royal Ascot, of course.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Sensational. Best week of the year. It's just outrageous. You don't know where to look. I mean, we've gone from 5 furlongs in the Kingstand, 2.5 miles in the Gold Cup, the Diamond Jubilee. There's horses coming from different hemispheres. I mean, it's just absolute scenes. I can't wait for it.
Brilliant. And Frank, who should we be backing?
I'm with Brendan, the Queen Mary, that Shades of Blue, tanked through the race. But I think what I really liked about her turn of pace, and she went through a narrow gap as well, so she's brave, like, which is what you want for Royal Ascot. You know, she might get a little bit hampered, and you know that she's going to, you know, stick her head out and do it. The second Queen of Bermuda went up to Thirsk, I think, and hacked up, and then carried a penalty at Windsor and beat the boys on Monday night. So the form is working out really well. And of course, Clive Cox won the race last year, so she's definitely one to be keeping on side. That said, Just Wonderful won a 6 furlong maiden at the Curra on Guineas weekend, and she was very impressive in doing so. That was over 6, I think, but she shows unbelievable pace midway through the race, about 2.5 furlongs out. She went from being with them all to about 3 or 4 lengths up on the far side, and I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped her back in the Queen Mary. She'd be a danger to Shades of Blue, but while we're not 8-1, Brent, we're only 5, there is 8-1 out there. There's definitely juice in that 8-1, I'd say. In the Queen's Vase, Stream of Stars for John Gosden. It's a full brother to Fly Me to the Stars, was just touched off in the Ebor last year. And it's only won a maiden on its second start, over 1.5 miles at Ascot, but it looks like the step up and triple really suit it. And of course, they won the race last year with Stradivarius. I think the step up and triple really bring about a lot of improvement. And while Aidan's horse Southern France will probably be fav and a well supported fav, this one might give it something to think about. And then in the Albany, this was very close to being my nap, but Fairyland couldn't have been any more impressive at the Curra, giving the boys an absolute hammering. And there is a small question mark of whether she goes here or the Queen Mary, but she won her maiden over 6, and she won that race over 6 as well, the Marble Hill, I think it's called. I'd be very surprised if they dropped her back to 5, and she'll take an unreal amount of beating in the Albany.
What price is she going to be?
I'll tell you there now if you give me 1 second.
Because I must admit, after she won last time, I thought, whichever race this one goes to at Royal Ascot, I am smashing her.
We're 5-2 because there is a little bit of doubt about, she's not certain. Like, Aidan mentioned the 2 races. Now, I think he was a little bit confused because he said she won over 5 in debut, but she actually won over 6. So, that's why he mentioned, we could drop her back to 5 for the Queen Mary since she's won her maiden over 5. But seeing that she hasn't run over 5 and she's won both times over 6, I'd be very surprised if she doesn't run the Albany. And if she is confirmed in the Albany, look, there is one in there that's a bit dangerous, Natalie's Joy of Mark Johnson, to won very well at Goodwood.
Did it ever?
It was very impressive, but at the same time, as impressive as that was, it wasn't nearly as impressive as Fairyland. I think they both ran in about 30 minutes of each other on that Saturday. But Fairyland's going to take an unreal amount of beating. I think if it's not a massive field, I wouldn't be surprised if this went off like 11-8 or 5-4.
Thank you, chaps. Before we get the naps, I'm just going to give a quick shout out to 2 fantastic, unmissable publications that are out at the moment. It's the Racing Post Royal Ascot Guide, this superb book, zillions of pages, absolutely full of great info. And then we've got the Ultimate Guide, the Racing Post Royal Ascot Weekender Special. That is out now as well. That is in newsagents. If you go to theracingpost.com and click shop, you can buy both, and there is plenty of time to digest all the goodies in there. Okay, let's get everyone's Royal Ascot Bet of the Week.
This will not be beaten.
Nick Watts.
Alpha Centauri, Coronation Stakes, Friday.
Brendan Duke.
Well, I'm simpatico with yourself and Frank Bruce with Fairyland. Will you indulge me a little tale about Fairyland?
Please do.
Well, I was in Nace on her debut. And I was standing around the parade ring, and she was the most interesting runner because she cost £1 million and is by Kodiak. And the guy I was standing with had a connection to that Now or Later, who was a stakes winning half sister to her. And she comes into the parade ring and she's half asleep. She walks around, and I turn around to him and said, it's Aiden first time up, so there's always a chance to get beat. I said, this can't win. This is going to fall asleep in the gates and just finish fourth or fifth. And he said to me, the half-sister was exactly the same. You wouldn't know that she was at the races. It was like she was walking around her stable, and as soon as the gates opened, bang, she was on it. This filly is just, I'd say you could actually sit her in one of those carriages for the royal procession. That's how good a temperament she has. She is completely bomb-proof. Now, they have this just wonderful. She was good at the Curragh. And I think Aiden might run both. Depends on what Wesley Ward tells them to do. I hope that they run both. And if you'll forgive me an aftertime, this is worse again. I did back her in the Marble Hill on the back at that nice run. And I was standing with the big man, Tom Nugent. And it was just a serene Buddhist race. I mean, basically, I think you might have given her one backhander. She just cantered through the race, bolted up. She'll win the Albany.
Excellent. And Frank?
Yeah, Commonwealth Cup. Equilateral to give Charlie Hills another sprinting superstar. Can I just mention one horse? It's not Royal Ascot related, but it might get you a few quid to start Royal Ascot off, and that's the Prix Diane on the Sunday before Royal Ascot. There's a horse called Shanaza. I've been tipping away on this for the Arc. She won a listed race at Longchamp the day Christophe Soumillon went bananas about the ground the meeting before the French Guineas, and she did it without getting even a tap of the whip. He barely even shook his hands on her. She just looked an absolute superstar. But at the time, it was difficult to equate what the form was, because she was beating maiden winners and you didn't really know what level they were. But the third, Polara, came out and won a Group 3 really impressively at Chantilly. And this Shanaza beat it practically on the bridle. To me, it's a superstar. I've had my biggest bet, Antipost Everina, for the Arc. I think it'll win the Diane. So if you want a few quid.
I think she's still 20s for the Arc, isn't she?
She's still 20s for the Arc, yeah. I managed to get a few lads to tweet a few other firms to put it up there about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I've been nibbling away at it ever since. But it's kind of my project for this year now. So hopefully she wins the Diane. And if she does, I can get really excited then for October.
Excellent. I was at a World Cup preview night yesterday, and a guy came up and he said, love the postcards. He said, please make sure Frank the Tank is on as much as possible. He is the absolute tipping god. So well done, Frank. Well done, Brendan. Well done, Watsy. Thank you very much indeed, guys. We are back with a postcast on Friday, looking ahead to the weekend. And of course, we're back every Monday as well. Plus, there will be daily postcasts throughout Royal Ascot. So do join us for all of those.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.